America's war machine. The machine exists just to feed itself. Tried for 40 days to destroy everything. That didn't work because, oh, what do you know? It's a country that's like 4 or 5 times bigger than Iraq in that disastrous, stupid war when we had, by the way, hundreds of thousands of ground troops. Now we have none. So we're trying to do it by the air only. Turns out that didn't work. What a shock that was. And especially, much more importantly, because the Iranian side had seen what we had done to Iraq and what we had done to a bunch of other countries. So they spent 2 decades building an elaborate system made out of these underground missile factories and missile cities we've talked about many times, makes it literally impervious to any technology and weapons that we have right now. And they've spread those throughout the country. So we discovered what logic already told us, that we're not going to solve this problem in 40 days or 400 days. It wouldn't make any difference. We'd have run out of missiles long before then, but we had to prove it to ourselves. So we did that. Now the weapon stockpile is quite low, and that's on top of what we've been doing in Ukraine and for Israel over the last 2.5 years. Then we said, all right, well, let's try a blockade. We'll just force them to compel. So maybe President Trump said we can get their oil. And so we'll starve them out until they capitulate. Remember earlier, he'd said, I'll select the new supreme leader. Well, that was obviously insane, but whatever, he did that too. What a shock, that also failed. Then you had the blockade, it also failed because, what a shock, it actually has reciprocal effects on us, because when the oil is blocked out from the Iranian side, it's also blocked out by the Iranian side that we want to get out, and that affects the global price of oil and the global supply of oil, more to the point. And that drives the price up everywhere else, and it takes things off the table, things that are still going to cause problems that we have not seen yet fully metastasized. It is not fully materialized yet. Some of these things will come during the harvest season and then into next year already, with fertilizers, helium, aluminum issues, sulfur, all kinds of other derivatives. That stuff is still going on, because now after the failure of the blockade, then we went to the MOU. We tried to solve it that way. And that would have worked. Here's the thing. This is why I say this is the war machine. That was going to work. It was going to get the Strait of Hormuz open. It had a pathway to end the conflict and to at least get it back to a level of stability where everybody could have a tenuous moving forward if we had implemented it according to the terms that President Trump signed. But he, of course, had no intention of signing it. I'm showing you that whole timeline here in the last few days. Within a week, we had already changed the terms on the most critical thing of all, the two most critical things, paragraph 1 and paragraph 5. One, that Israel had to leave Lebanon, end that war completely. They have no intention of or interest in doing so. And I've shown you what the Israeli side has said. There's not even a possibility of that. Paragraph number 5, which is the most important to us, which was the free flow of oil and gas and other derivatives in and out of the Gulf. We went back on that because we started changing the terms within days, 7 days to be specific. At least that's when it hit the public, the headlines. Could have happened before that, but that's when it started. So we now then are at the point to where that we didn't want to do that. And so then we started when Iran did what is logical. You don't have to like it, but they did what's logical. If we signed an agreement that said they have control over the administrative deciding how, and then we gave them a 30-day time frame to figure out how to safely open up the strait, then that means they get to decide how the strait is opened up, and they have 30 days to do it. But no, we changed it after 5 or 7 days. And then when they didn't like the results of that, they said to ships that were passing through against the rules that they had, against the rules that we gave, against the authority that we gave them. Now then they're saying, hey, how about we don't do that? And if you do go through, there's going to be consequences. They warned it. They apparently fired warning shots. And then they started attacking the ship on the 25th of June, I believe. So from the 17th to the 25th, that's when the kinetic part started. We started responding back. And then now here we are. We're on the 9th straight day of attacks from the United States, which I think started specifically on 7 July. The MOU is dead from President Trump's side. The ceasefire is dead from President Trump's side. The MOU is dead from the Iranian side. The ceasefire is dead from the Iranian side. So in every way you look, there is now no negotiation. There is no diplomatic path. There is no military solution, despite what the likes of General Keane, General Kellogg, Mike Pompeo, you name it. All these guys who've been listening, Admiral Howard here of late, throwing his hat in the ring. Everybody says, finish the job. There is no finish the job. You've seen here in just the last few days, we bragged about how President Trump escalated things up and went up and started hitting bridges, energy supplies, electricity supplies, tunnels, et cetera, things that were needed for Bandarbas, they said. And we showed you within hours, literal hours, not even days, that they built a bypass. They just drove past the bombed out bridge. They brought bucket loaders, just regular dump trucks and everything else, earth moving equipment. They opened the tunnel, I think, 10 hours later. So it's not even having an effect on there. Now, the issue I saw this morning, there's some long gas lines in the areas around Bandarbas because of the strikes we've been having. So it's disruption. That's annoyance. And they'll figure a bypass way around that, like everybody does. That's just how war works. And since there is no diplomatic path, we are left to conclude one of two things, I think, in the primary, in the main. One is that our administration is incompetent to a level that no one ever thought they were. Even I didn't think that they were this incompetent, that they would literally start a war, have no way to end it, and then not know what to do and just keep throwing missiles out there every day. Literally throw out missiles. That's one option, that they're just profoundly incompetent. Or the other option is that they're not incompetent. They may be immoral and unethical, but maybe this has been the plan. Maybe the idea is we just want the war to continue on. Now, that has some obvious problems with it, and kind of leads me back toward the incompetent part, because there is a consequence to this. I think, let's see if I've got this one up here. I mean, just take a look here. You have the Strait of Hormuz up in the top and the Bab al-Mandab Strait on the bottom of the screen there. And the Strait is closed right now. And if we continue this on, the Iranian side has said, and it could come literally as early as this week, if they're going to say, hey, you know what, we'll add the Bab al-Mandab to that, which is going to cause more problems for the American energy supplies, our problem, not just American, for the global energy supplies. It's going to continue to exacerbate the issue with the fertilizers, with the helium, with the aluminum, with the sulfuric acid, all of those things that are needed for the global economy, much more than just that. Diesel fuel, airline fuel, all those things are central to this, to the Gulf area. All those things are either greatly diminished or blocked off entirely right now. And yet, here we are. There is no diplomacy. There is no diplomatic track. There is no military solution. And yet, literally every day, we keep firing off more missiles. Iran keeps returning more missiles. We killed some Iranian troops. They killed some American troops. And now what? Interestingly, President Trump, after reports from various outlets yesterday that now then he's going to be so angry because this crossed a Trump red line and he's going to come in and unleash holy hell. You may remember, you may have seen some of those headlines. And as it turns out, it was just another one of the nights, nothing special. Trump himself made no comment, at least as of the time I came on the air here. He had not yet made any statement other than that we need to put more sanctions on Iran. That's what we need to do. That's what Lindsey Graham would want. That's what he said. But nothing about holy hell, and it was just another strike. Iran kind of went, that's it? Okay. And so presumably they're going to be launching their counterstrike later today if that hadn't already happened. But there's no path here. Nobody even wants to talk diplomacy, and you can't solve it. So where then does that leave us? That leaves us with just a war on autopilot. But here's the thing. This one can't stay on autopilot forever, because there are other headwinds as well, and maybe not the ones you might be thinking of. Let me just show you a couple here. This is from the Wall Street Mav here. U.S. government debt just reached a new all-time high of $39.5 trillion. It will reach $40 trillion within a few months. 42% of all current income tax currently now goes to paying interest on the national debt. Think about that for a second. 42% of everything we take in from taxes, all of your taxes that you pay and that you hate paying every month, goes just to pay the debt service. And the debt will never be reduced. When the bonds come due, the government refinances at current rates, current higher rates at that time, the interest payments that the government pays. This increases the interest payments, i.e. it'll raise that percentage up from 42%. In the next 12 months, about $9 trillion in U.S. government debt will come due. The U.S. Treasury will need to refinance that $9 trillion, plus they need to sell over $2 trillion in additional bonds to cover the budget deficit. Do you see what I'm saying here? We can't keep going on like this forever. At some point, this basically is a Ponzi scheme. You can see that, right? It's basically a Ponzi scheme. And that there's other things involved as well. Let me show you this one here. That's at the national level. Let's take a look at the individual level, because that's also a real problem. This is affecting people here. The richest, you can see how many zeros there are. 0.1% of America now hold wealth equal to 12% of the U.S. national income, the widest gap on record. Do you see what's happening right here? While the national debt is increasing and the burden on Americans is increasing and the price of gasoline is increasing and the price of fuel, jet fuel, diesel, gasoline, everything. And of course, then obviously everything else goes up because of that. Your Amazon price goes up. Things you order go up. The groceries go up. Literally everything goes up. But look who's not having a problem. The people at the super wealthy elite, they're doing fine. A tiny sliver of a few dozen households sitting on a share that tops even Robert Baron Peak of the early 1900s. That is crazy. So that tells you that the people that are in charge of the war, the people that are in charge of the decision, and of course they're influencing President Trump, and you see he's surrounded almost exclusively with the super wealthy elite. Not just wealthy people, but the super wealthy elite. All those point and all those zeros, and finally you get to a one. And they control the vast majority of it. I think I also saw that later in that same article that the bottom 50% of Americans, the bottom 50% of households, so you're talking in total people, somewhere around 160 million people, have 2.5% of the nation's wealth. So that means the massive vast majority of all of us are literally paying the price for these wars. Meanwhile, these people at the very, very, very top, they are the ones that are getting richer and making money hand over fist. So they have benefited that's going on. This whole national debt thing, you think they care? When this Ponzi scheme comes to fruition and finally gets so top heavy, it crashes and collapses on top of everybody. See, they're not going to care. They're going to say, okay, yeah, whatever. I'll go to Europe. I'll go to Asia. I'll go to wherever. Because I've got all the money in the world, I can do that. So they'll take all this money, they'll up, and they'll put it in whatever, gold, you name it, any kind of it. They'll invest in other countries, and of course they'll take their bank accounts, and they'll just pop on a plane and pop across the sea, and they're good to go. What do you think about these other? No, not just 160 million, but all the rest of us, the vast majority, like all except for that 0.00001%. We're stuck here. We don't get to just get on a plane and fly off somewhere and start a new life because we don't have that. That's one of the things. This is not the whole thing, that the war doesn't cause all this, but this is a manifestation of that. They're, of course, abusing this super wealthy elite is abusing the Americans all over the map. You name it, they're all over the place because they're exploiting Americans everywhere. And of course, they own the legislatures, House, the Senate, the White House, because only these people have the money to make sure that all these the folks that they want get elected. And newsflash for you folks, they don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. They literally could care less. They own them all. And they could, if you want a R, you want a D, you want to care about this other stuff in the some of these emotional issues that drive a lot of voter antipathy, like LGBTQ or abortion or border control or immigration, all these issues that are really, they focus all the interest, the social media, the mainstream media, they all focus on those things. But nobody's focusing on what I just showed you, that the wealthy are blasting you out of the game. They're just exploiting everything, and they're building up this massive debt. Because look, you may have seen that President Trump is trying to get past a $1.5 trillion defense budget, which is the current one is $1 trillion, which is just this massive amount. And he's going to increase that to 1.5. He said a week or two ago that he wants to actually double it. Where do you think that money comes from? And of course, they cite all these wars that are being fought everywhere. We have to. we have to go on the threat. Everything is to scare you that threats are coming everywhere, even though a lot of these threats that exist are because of the wars we're fighting and supporting. This is harming us, and they're benefiting at the top of it. That's a fact, folks. And now then he wants to go up to 1 point. Where's that money going to come from? I'll tell you where it's going to come from. That chart I showed you a second ago, the national debt is where. 42% today of all your tax money doesn't even go to the war. It goes to pay the debt service on the debts that were made to expand the war. And so now then when he wants to move that up by $500 trillion, there isn't another tax base to get that from, folks. It's only going to come from one place, the printing press. The Treasury is just going to manufacture it out of thin air, which will add to the national debt, which will add to the debt service. And the manifestation on the ground with the wars themselves is causing a physical problem to us. And then the debt, of course, is causing another problem onto the entire country. Now then, we don't have money to take care of our people. We don't have money to fix the bridges, to fix the roads, to increase the infrastructure of our country, to bring us into the modern age. We're falling further behind everywhere. Do you see what I'm saying here? This is a war. I may have need to retitle this. This may be a war against the American people. It's being fought on the ground in Iran. We're supporting it being fought in Europe, in Ukraine. But that's just where the ground, the rubber meets the road thing. But the actual battle is against you. It's against the American people. We're paying this. We're being lied to, and the lies are so outrageous now. The physical evidence screams that they're lying, and yet because that's just the way things work, nobody ever calls them out. But you need to understand the reason I'm making this video today. Not just, the X's and O's about what's happening on the war and what got hit with this missile or that. This is the bigger picture that you need to understand. We are being exploited, the vast majority of the country. And again, they don't care about if you're red or blue. They don't care if you're black or white or Hispanic. They don't care any of that stuff. They mock all of us. We are all held in contempt. And it's going to stay that way until either we finally rise up and say we've had enough and start doing something through the political realm by mobilizing our massive numbers, because we do still have an advantage over those people. We'll talk about that more in another time. Or the alternative is that the Ponzi scheme finally becomes too top heavy and it literally crushes down on top of all of us. The debt can't work. There's not enough oil to even have industry. The price goes so high, diesel, gasoline, jet fuel, fertilizers, everything becomes so expensive we can't afford anything, and then we get plunged into a depression. That could also bring it about, because that brings about change that very often doesn't happen nonviolently, which I'm 100% for, not 1% for anything else. And then the only way we can avoid that catastrophic outcome in the future is to start taking legal actions now, and to start raising our voices to the people who are in charge right now, telling them they're not going to escape. And if they keep going down this path, if they don't do the right thing, if they keep facilitating these wars and this debt and not doing anything to help us out, then they're going to get replaced and eventually we'll rise up. This may sound like kind of pie in the sky, but I'm telling you right now, it's going to be one or the other. Either we're going to figure out how to mobilize now while we can, and to do it in a legal, nonviolent way, or other forces are going to take over once pain starts crashing and collapsing. And even these folks can't manufacture anything. You can't print your way out of those problems. That day is coming, because these people that are at the elite right now, they're not even smart about it. They're just on autopilot for the way things have worked before, but they have no idea. They are not even equipped to handle crisis. And that is definitely coming. Appreciate you guys. We will look forward to seeing you later on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. If anything happens over the weekend or over the rest of Sunday, we'll certainly bring that to you. Otherwise, I'll see you Monday morning on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. See you then.
You know we don't have sponsors because we hate to hit you over the head with ads. I don't like them. So show a little love back. Subscribe, like, and send this to somebody you care about.